Genesis chapter 2. Over the past three times that I've stood before you, I brought messages out of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And Genesis chapter 1, we saw that God gave guidance by giving light. We know that Jesus was the light of the world, still is. That He's left that to you and I to be a light also. And then you find that God, He gave a girl. He gave a garden. But tonight I want us to look in Genesis and study this thought tonight. That God give grace just in time for Adam and Eve once they failed. And I want to look in Genesis chapter number 2 right here. And read a couple of verses right here. And then we'll go into chapter number 3 and look at some things over there. Brother Conrad, would you pray for us tonight, brother? Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, help us, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us be that each and every day of our lives. God, let us not take that opportunity.
Amen.
And I, Lord God, to show, Lord, what you've done in our lives.
Amen.
I pray tonight, Lord, ask you, God, just to be with Brother Adam and Sister Gayla.
Yes.
God, that you give them safety, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
For that, Lord, I pray, God, that you would open their hearts, Lord. Father, when they step into that time, God, is with you.
Amen.
That's what it is, God. Encouragement, Father. That's
yes.
What I pray in this day and hour we live, God, these children, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, don't understand what's taking place right here in our own family, Lord. God, I pray, Father, for protection over those children, God, and I ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is giving grace that Adam and Eve might have life. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. In Genesis chapter number 2, in verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." If you haven't got this underlined in your Bible, I want you to underline it. "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt possibly die." No, thou shalt surely die. Now God goes on and gives an account of the creation of woman. But in chapter number 3, I want to pick up reading right here. And let's look what has taken place. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Underline this right here now. In the cool of the day. We'll come back to that in a little while. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. I hid myself. He said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Isn't that just like us? We want to blame our sins on somebody else, don't we? Amen? But it all comes back to here. Here. Me and you. We all have a way of escape if we want to. And too often, though, we go out in sin and then when we get confronted with it, we want to make an excuse. We are inexcusable. And the Bible says... Well, we'll stop reading right there for a little bit and look at some of these things and some of these verses right here. I want you to notice in this thought of God giving grace that Adam and Eve might have life. They sinned and they fell in the garden right here, and it plunged all mankind that would ever be born afterwards into sin and depravity and in need of salvation. And you know that as God had told Adam right there, if you take of this tree, in the day that you do it, you're going to surely die. But now, I want you to notice that there was a forewarning to Adam. Before the woman was even created, God had told Adam of his responsibility and his responsibility of the home. And may I say that men are responsible for your homes, for the spiritual well-being of your home. Might say that you're the priest of the home. And so it's up to you to see that your family stays in line with the Word of God and is faithful to the house of God. God has, I believe, given that responsibility to man. And so we see that there was a command that was given right here. God's Word is something that we ought not ever take lightly. Amen? When God says, Thou shalt not, He means thou shalt not. Amen? And so God told Adam, He said right here in verse number 16 of chapter 2, God commanded the man. A forewarning. And with this forewarning, there was a caution given. What was the caution? He said, No, don't eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There would be a calamity that would take place if they took of this tree. And we know that the forewarning was given, and the forewarning would include spiritual death and physical death. You see, at this present time, Adam had full fellowship with God. He did not know sin. And can you imagine never having sinned and having the fellowship and presence of God on a daily basis? And what a blessing that environment that Adam had lived in here. But there was one thing there that God commanded him not to do. And we know that he was forewarned of the calamity that would take place. Now, we see the forewarning now, but let's look at the foe in chapter number 3. The devil, the serpent right here, the Bible calls him. And, you know, he has many different names that's in the Bible right here. And we'll look And throughout the pages of your Bible, you'll find that he is the devil. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. serpent, dragon, the adversary, the prince and power of the air, the prince of demons, and many, many titles are given to the serpent right here. But now, we know that at this point in time, he was not cursed. Later on in chapter 3, he's cursed to go upon his belly. I don't know about you, but I ain't never liked a snake. Now, there's people that have snakes for pets. I don't know about them folks. Amen? I never seen a snake that I thought was pretty, except a dead one. Amen? And I just don't like snakes. But now, I don't know what this serpent looked like to Eve as it approached her. Probably, you know, maybe it was beautiful. Maybe it was something that they saw, and I don't know. It's really a sort of a mystery, I guess. But I know that he came to Eve to deceive her and to destroy her and to take life. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. But he had something to say right here. This foe right here in verse number 1 right here, he brings up the subject of doubt. Doubt. He uses doubt in our day too. Amen? The devil will do everything he can do to get you to doubt what God has said in this Bible right here. He's doing a good job in the world today. Amen? And, you know, the Bible warns us about science, warns us about deceivers, about doubters, and false teachers. But the devil says right here, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is that what he said? In other words, he's trying to put doubt in Eve's mind right here. And it gets her to scratching her head and thinking, I guess. And, well, what did God say? You know, that's why it's so important for you and I to know what the Bible says right here and what God has said. That's why we need to have a personal time of study in God's Word. And when somebody comes up to us and tries to tell us something about the Word of God, we ought to know whether they're right or wrong. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of basic things. It's amazing how people are so easily deceived. Right? You remember that bunch of folks that followed this guy named Jim Jones down in, what was that? Guyana or somewhere like that? 900 or so of them committed suicide. I'm telling you, he wasn't of God. He was a deceiver. He was of the devil. And there's many, many, many false teachers and false preachers in this world today that the devil, the Bible says that he's disguised himself as an angel of light. The devil's in pulpits today. Amen? He's got people flocking to him with a steeple out here on a building with a cross maybe on it, and he's teaching damnable doctrines. The Bible tells us that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Paul said that would happen in the latter days, and it's here upon us now. Hey, he's against this King James Bible right here. He's against sound doctrine. And he's got his teachers planting things out in this world today in people's minds to send them straight to hell. Get an amen right there? Amen. He's doing his job. He's creating doubt. In verse number 4, we see deceit. He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. That's a lie. That's deception. Listen to me, friend. There's a lot of folks today that's living life, going through year after year after year after year, thinking that, I don't know what they're thinking. I see people 75, 80, 85 years old that's still out in sin and never gives any thought about dying. And, you know, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's a hell waiting on them. And it seems like they just think they're going to live here forever or something. I don't know what folks is thinking. But they better be getting ready to meet God. Amen? Because we're all going to meet Him one day, ready or not. And the devil is a deceiver. And he told Eve right here, he said, you shall not surely die. Deceiver. Deception. Verse 5, we see that he denies. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He right here, he denies the Word of God. That's why we're so dogmatic here at Liberty Baptist Church about the King James Bible. You can go into a bookstore, a Christian bookstore in the day that we live, you can find every kind of version imaginable sitting on the shelf. But you better stick with the King James Version of the Bible right here because it hadn't been tampered with. You can find all kind of junk up on the shelves of a Christian bookstore. Just stick with the King James Bible. There's stuff in here I don't understand. There's stuff in here I can't explain. But I tell you what, there's a lot of stuff in here I do know, and I'm firm on my belief in the King James Bible. Hey, it worked for me about 44 years ago, and it'll still work in the day that we live today. King James Bible, the Word of God. Well, listen, there's folks today that says it's hard to understand. There's folks today that says there's errors in it, but I don't believe a word of that. I don't believe a word of it. I believe it's God-inspired. It's inerrant. And it's Holy Ghost-filled. Well, listen to me tonight. The foe. You realize tonight that there's a devil and there's demons in this world today that wants to steal, kill, and destroy you? Amen. To steal, to kill, and to destroy you. And he's wreaking havoc in homes, in churches, in people's lives all throughout this country in the day that we live today. Because we're just casually going through life giving no thought to the things of God and the things of the devil. You got to realize you've got an adversary. You've got to realize that there's one that opposes you, that one that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, if I knew that when I walked out this door tonight, there was somebody out there waiting on me, going to try to kill me, I'd try to get prepared for it before I went out. Amen? Well, the devil's he's a real deal. Let me tell you, he wants to come into your life and destroy it. Amen? Amen. So beware. The forewarning and the foe. But notice this, the fall. Chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." You see, Eve right here had a problem looking, lusting, and listening. She looked upon the tree, she lusted after it, and she listened to the devil. How many times have we got in trouble with the same thing? Amen? Now the Bible clearly tells us in the book of James we got a responsibility. In James chapter number 1, the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Listen to this. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." That's pretty plain, ain't it? That's pretty plain. Everybody in this room right here has got a sin problem. Amen? And you better watch yourself. This flesh right here is prone to wander and turn away from God and turn into sin. And so we got a problem, just like Eve right here. Now, she had a problem. You know why? I mean, we're descendants of Adam. We've got the same problems. Sin is destroying so many people's lives, destroying so many homes and families in the day that we live today. Notice this right here. After she looked, she lusted, she listened. Notice right here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. I want you to see this. 1 Timothy 2 and 13. Look at these verses. "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, that seems like a strange verse, don't it? Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what the sentence would be. And I've heard a lot of folks have different opinions on that verse. God had not yet given grace to him. But Adam, I believe, you know, personally, this is my belief. I believe Adam loved his bride so much that he was willing to die with her. Amen? I believe he loved her that much. And in a comparison, the Bible tells us over in the book of Ephesians, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. Christ loved his bride so much he was willing to die for his bride. I believe Adam had this, had that same kind of love for his bride. And he was willing to die with her. Of course, we know that through God's grace that God promised a Savior just a little further on over in this chapter right here. But we see there was a forewarning, there was a foe, there was a fall. Now the effects of this fall, I want you to see some things right here. The effects of the fall. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Instead of walking with God, they were hiding from God. You know, that's what sin will do for you. Amen? If you've been saved, you know what it's like to be close to God and to be able to fellowship with God through prayer and through the Holy Ghost being upon you. And I would venture to say that you know what sin will do to that fellowship. It'll break that fellowship. It'll make you not even want to go to the house of God. You can sit through a church service if you're not in fellowship with God, and God can move all about and you'll be cold as an icicle. And so Adam and Eve decided, well, we just better hide ourselves because he'll be here in a little bit. You can't hide from God, though, can you? You can run. You ever heard that old saying, you can run, but you can't hide? There's no hiding from God. If you're a child of God, he's going to search you out. He's going to call you out and your sins. The effects, their walk, they hid from God. And then the Word, God began to speak to him. God called his name. And instead of having the sweetness of hearing God's voice and having God to speak to him, it brought fear to him. Sin brings fear. It ought to. Amen? Because sin brings chastisement. And the Bible says the wages of sin's death. God will chastise you. He'll burden you about sin. Or he can bury you about sin. Amen? The effects of their walk was affected. The Word, you know, the effects of the Word brought fear. Joy and fellowship was lost. And guilt and shame came upon them. And it ought to do that to any of us. Amen? We ought to feel guilty about sin in our life and want to do something about it. But notice this, not only the walk and the Word, but the rapping. Not rapping like the rappers you hear on the radio. They didn't go to rapping. But they did wrap themselves with leaves. Notice what the Bible says. Their eyes were open. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I can just see Eve as she sewed them fig leaves on herself and asked Adam, does this fig leaves make me look big? Do I need to tighten it up right here? Well, got to put a little humor in here. But anyway, they tried to cover their sins and cover their nakedness. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsaketh shall have mercy. You hear what that said? You can try to cover up your sins. You can hide your sins from your husband. You can hide your sins from your wife. You can hide from the preacher, but you can't hide from God. God said if you try to cover up, it ain't going to work. But if you confess and forsake, I'll give you mercy. That's a blessing, isn't it? Mercy is what we need. Notice this now. The last thing I want to go to tonight. We had the forewarning, the foe, the fall, but now the favor. This favor I'm talking about is the gift of grace that God brings upon the pages of the Word of God right here. Great, great chapter right here, and a lot could be said about it. But I want you to notice this right here. After God had confronted Adam, confronted Eve, notice right here that the Bible says this right here in verse number 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. You notice that God came to them. They had sinned. They tried to cover their sins. They tried to hide from God. It's just like God to come to somebody you love, though, and offer them a chance at life. God came to them. Verse number 9, God called. He asked Adam, said, Adam, where art thou? God ever ask you, where are you at? You ever thought about it? Where are you at with God tonight? How's your relationship with God? Something to think about. Are you far away from Him? Are you drawing nigh to Him? Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. God knows where we're all at tonight. Amen? He knows all about our lives, and thank God He loves us enough to come to us, call us by name, convict us of our sins. You notice in verse number 10 and 11, He confronted Adam and Eve about their sins. Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, I hid myself. He said, who told you you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? God knew they'd done it. He didn't have to ask them that. But He confronted them about their sins. God ever confronted you about your sins? Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost living in you, He'll confront you. Amen. He'll confront you about your sins. He'll convict you. He'll make you feel guilty. He'll make you feel dirty. He'll make you feel low. But thank God He can also make you feel loved. Thank God when He comes to you and shows you your sins, gives you a chance to confess. He confronted. Adam confessed and Eve confessed. In verse number 12 it says, He said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Same thing with Eve. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You see, that's confession. The best thing you can ever do when the Holy Ghost convicts you of your sins, the best thing you can ever do is just admit it's me. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. The psalmist David in chapter 51 of the book of Psalms, he said, my sin is ever before me. Well, I mean, sin can get on you heavy. When you become guilty before God and the Holy Ghost has got you under conviction, sin is heavy upon you. Heavy. Thank God we can confess. We can get forgiveness if we want it. Adam confessed and Eve confessed. They were on their way to great favor with the God that loved them. Notice now there was a curse. As the Bible picks up in verse 14, the Bible says, Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. We know that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what would happen to the devil one day, he's on his way to hell. And thank God for that. He won't He won't be around God's people once we make it into God's heaven. And then he goes on right here and he speaks to the woman about what's going to take place and to Adam. As eating of a tree, I command thee, shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. You see, the serpent is cursed. You'll see that this old earth is under a curse. And he promised to Adam that he'd earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. He said, thorn and thistles it's going to bring forth to thee all the days of your life. He also told him that he took him from the dust, and to dust he was going to return. And one day. But I want you to notice some things right now. Looking back right here. In chapter number 2, remember this verse right here I mentioned a while ago in verse number 17. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve was under a death sentence. Their spiritual fellowship with God had been broken, and they were about to die. I thought about Brother Michael and Sister Terry, that song y'all sang just in time. And notice this right here now. We know that they're under the sentence of death. And this day, and the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I want you to see this now. And in verse number 8 of chapter number 3, the Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Notice this. In the cool of the day. Evening was coming. You ever notice in summertime when it gets real, real hot? And then when the sun begins to go down, the day begins to cool off. They had just a little time left before they were going to die. You hear me now? I know that Adam lived to be 900 and something years old. He had grace. But now, when God came to Adam and Eve, it was just in time. They were about to die. They had sinned. They had disobeyed God. They'd plunged into sin and depravity and under a sentence of death. They were about to die. But God comes upon the scene. God confronts them of their sins. And they confess their sins. God cursed the serpent. God cursed the earth, but He did not curse Adam and He did not curse Eve. What He had for them was grace. Grace is what He had for them. And I thank God for grace tonight. As He told them of the things that they were going to be confronted with throughout their life, the Bible says in verse number 21, and Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You'll find the first shedding of blood in the Word of God right here. God shed the first blood to make coverings for Adam and Eve, clothings of skins right here. When Adam and Eve had to witness the killing right here, the sacrifice of the innocent for the guilty, it must have really affected their lives for God to give them a chance at life. He clothed them. Ain't you glad tonight that God has clothed His children in clothes of righteousness tonight? He's took away our cloak of sin and shame and clothed us with His righteousness tonight. He's given us life through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to die and go to a devil's hell because the Lord Jesus Christ, He paid it all for us. And I thank God that He came just in time for Adam and Eve, and He offered them life. He offered them grace. Hey, the innocent died for the guilty. They were clothed right here. Thank God. And I thank God, God not only shed the first blood, God shed the last blood of His darling Son on Calvary's cross to take away sin forever. Thank God for grace tonight. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Amen. God clothed them. What a wonderful thought. Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He hung on Calvary's cross, God took the sins of the whole world, my sins and your sins, and He placed them upon His Son. The Bible says He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. God took His righteousness and He put it on me. I didn't deserve it. I deserved hell, and you did too. But God give us grace. Just in time. Just in time. I remember when the Lord saved me, I felt like death and hell was closing in on me every way I turned. It just seemed like I just kept getting closer and closer upon me. But God came just in time, offered me a chance at life when I cried out to Him. I didn't have to beg Him. I didn't have to run down to the altar. But when I was back in my seat, I just said, "Lord, would You have me?" Well, He saved me just like that. And I did go to the altar then. I told the preacher, "The Lord saved me." And thank God for grace. I know what kind of grace it took to have mercy upon me, to forgive a wretch like me, when He ought to kill me and sent me to a devil's hell. Thank You for being